It's the Dead Set Legends on Sydney's Triple M. Gus Wallen, Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor. If you can't get enough of us, we can drop exclusive content in the Dead Set Legends podcast every single Saturday. You can find it on the Listener app. You can download it now. LISTNR. We've got Peter Volandis on the line, a Dead Set Legend when it comes to keeping the games and racing alive the last couple of years. Peter, welcome back to the Dead Set Legends. How are you this morning?
Very well, thanks, Gus.
Mate, it's really good to hear from you. You're a busy man, but we do want to talk about the first round draw for the start of the 2022 season. Gee, there's some wonderful matchups, and none better than Panthers versus Manly at Bluebet Stadium on the Thursday night.
Look, you've caught me in an awkward situation here, Gus, because we're not releasing the draw until next Tuesday.
Oh.
So what's out there at the moment is speculation, but okay. It's reasonably accurate speculation, I have to say. But
okay.
Look, the commission has to sign off on it by Monday, and the draw will then be announced on Tuesday. So it's hard for me to comment until the commission really basically approve of the draw.
Totally understand, mate. No worries.
Hey, Pete, Wendell Saylor, mate. You must have been
happy. Wendell.
How you going, mate? All right?
Very good, thanks, mate.
Mate, you've been happy. Must have been happy with the grand final and the outcome.
Absolutely. Look, it was a long year for us, and behind the scenes, there was a lot of work to keep the competition going, but I think the right decision was made to move it to Queensland, and that took all the risk out of the situation, because I think if we kept it into New South Wales, there would have been many players that would have been positive, because it would have been impossible to keep COVID out, no matter how good your protocols are. So we did a risk analysis, and we took the game up there early, and I think that was the winner. I think if we let it go for another month, we could have been in trouble. But the Queensland government was great to deal with, very professional, and we were able to get through the season unscathed.
Peter, it's Jude Bolton speaking. The Dolphins, obviously, announcement, and it's 2023 to come into the competition. They've secured super coach in Wayne Bennett. It's exciting times for Southeast Queensland, isn't it?
Look, I think it's very exciting because we need to grow the game. You can't stay stagnant. And the Brisbane market's been underutilised, in my view, especially for participation. And our greatest real estate is the state of origin. And unless you have participation pathways in Brisbane, that'll weaken Queensland over, in the next 10 years. We need to look at a 10-year plan, and that's exactly what we're doing. And we want to grow participation in Queensland. That's, it's our second biggest state after New South Wales. It's heartland, and we've got competition up there now with the AFL and other sports, and we need to consolidate. So the first step for the game is to consolidate and grow. And the good thing about the Dolphins is they did some very good work, and they hired some pretty credible consultants to basically tell us that they'll get 200,000 new fans. That's
wow.
Not fans that. That's not fans that go from South Sydney to the Dolphins or from the Broncos to the Dolphins. These are new people. These are new eyeballs to the game, and you need that to grow. Any sport that just sits back and does nothing, after a while it'll perish. And rugby league is in a very fortunate position because we can have participation in so many ways. We can play tip, tag, contact, so everyone can play. And we want to introduce beach rugby league in the summertime. We want to have tip and tag and get everyone in the family involved, because what we've discovered is that if you participate in some fashion, you become a fan. You become a rusted on fan, a fan that's engaged. There's a lot of people out there that are just casual fans, and our challenge in all sports is to make them fans that are totally engaged with the game.
But I've got to ask about State of Origin. Obviously, I'm a proud Queenslander. Was there
what happened this year in the State of Origin?
No, you guys won.
Oh, thank you.
But even next year's draw, was there any speculation of giving three games to New South Wales since what they did this year, or you just thought you had to, because there's one back in Queensland, that guys.
Yeah, that's the last game, isn't it? And Perth is the middle game,
second.
First game in Sydney.
Yes.
Look, no, it didn't come into our, because we've got contractual obligations, basically, and we have to honour those contractual obligations. This year was an extraordinary year. It was circumstances beyond everyone's control, and everyone understood that. We were very fortunate that Queensland hosted us and that we were able to get the three games away. But we've got a contract with the Perth government, which we'll honour.
Yep.
So one of the games will definitely be in Perth. And then, you have to give New South Wales and Queensland the other two.
Peter, also just now, you're obviously racing New South Wales chief executive. We turn our eyes to the racing.
When do you sleep, Peter?
amazing resume. But you must have been pleased with the way, obviously, the fifth running of the Everest this year and Nature Strip, stormed home, and the atmosphere at Randwick.
Look, it was great because it was the first event after the lockdown, and you could tell by, we were only allowed 10,000 people, but they sounded like it was 100,000 people. But the good thing about the Everest is it's a new age race for the current young people, for the under 30s demographic. And what we've discovered is they're really engaged with it. And the majority of our crowd are under 30. When we were selling tickets last year, you know, we sold 22,000 tickets, which is rare for a race meeting because normally people buy the tickets at the gate.
Yeah.
But of that 22,000, 80% were under the age of 30, which is extraordinary because racing has never attracted a younger generation. And we've been able to break through with the Everest, and it's just continued to grow. And it's now the number one wagering race for New South Wales racing. And it's only second to the Melbourne Cup in the New South Wales TAB. So it's grown very quickly in 5 years. But that's a lesson for all sports, is you can't keep marketing to a certain demographic. You've got to look at the youth. You've got to look at the next generation coming through. And a lot of sports make that mistake where they concentrate on their current customers and not worry about the ones that are the young ones. And you know, I've got a 20-year-old and a 25-year-old that work in my office. And the 5 years between them, they're two different generations. It's quite surprising how different they are. And all sports and businesses, for that matter, have to keep analysing what the tastes are of those people, what they want, you know, the time management they have, and to market it in that way. And that's what we did with the Everest, and it's worked. And you know, and we want to do the same thing with rugby league in participation, is that we've got to attack that that youth market, and not for male and female. As I said, we're a very lucky sport in rugby league that anyone can participate, because you can just play tip, tag, or contact. And that's lessons that I bring forward to the rugby league from racing. And that's the beauty of doing both roles, is, you know, things that rugby league does well, racing doesn't do very well, but things that racing does very well, rugby league doesn't. So both sports are benefiting, improving their strengths and rectifying their weaknesses.
Well, Pete, I need to ask you, I've been reading about, players, that are non-vaxxed and players that are getting vaxxed. What's your stance on it? Is there going to be one blanket rule, or at the moment, I know you're leaving it up to the clubs, because I find pre-season saying, okay, you're vaxxed over here, you're non-vaxxed, so you've got to go over there. I find that's going to be so hard to do when you're doing ball work.
Look, I always treat rugby league as a family, all the players. We're one big family. And what we've discovered, if you mandate something and force your will on someone, they react. They don't cooperate. We have left that personal decision up to the player to decide if they vaccinate or if they don't vaccinate. And we are trying to, we're fully wishing that every player vaccinates, because that's the way we're going to get out of this pandemic, is for the whole population to be vaccinated. But we don't want to take their personal choice away. We need to do it by a family member, by cooperation and education. And the strategy has worked, because the majority of players and a lot of players we didn't expect to vaccinate have vaccinated. You know, there's clubs now that are 100% vaccinated, and we try to counsel the players to tell them they're going to have challenges if they don't vaccinate. Like in Victoria, you can't play unless you're fully vaccinated. You mightn't be able to go to New Zealand if you're not fully vaccinated. So they've got to be made aware of the risks they're taking by not vaccinating. And we're discovering that they are vaccinating, because you're not forcing them, and you're doing it by cooperation and education. And sometimes that's a better strategy. And I, looking at the numbers at the moment, we're far more advanced by this strategy than I think we would have been if we mandated it. And you've got to remember, for the last 2 years, we have operated with unvaccinated players. We had protocols in place to keep everyone safe. And we're going to do the same thing, even if we have 100% vaccination. It doesn't stop you from catching the virus. I mean, there was a gymnasium, but there was 20 positives. They're all fully vaccinated. So, because from my understanding, you're not allowed to go to gym unless you're fully vaccinated. So it means that they're all fully vaccinated. So we're not going to relax our protocols during the year, because we're actually going to increase them by having rapid antigen tests, which have worked exceptionally well in racing. We've been able to stop participants coming into the race course by doing a rapid antigen test that takes 15 minutes. It's less intrusive. So we can do that at the clubs before they go to training, before they go to the games. So there'll be no one that'll be entering any venue that's positive, either vaccinated or unvaccinated, because we will stop it at the door.
Beautiful, Pete. We could talk to you all day, mate. There's so many topics there, but we really appreciate your time, and what a wonderful
legend
job you've done in the game of rugby league and in racing, mate. You truly are a saint. Thank you so much for everything you've done, and thanks for joining us on the Dead Set Legends today.
My pleasure, fellas.